Thank you very much. I'm Ian Rose. I'm going to be talking about Cobra, which is an aggregation and filtering service for RSS feeds. So our motivation for this work is the recent and dramatic growth of the blogosphere. One site that currently indexes RSS feeds, Technorati, currently tracks over 72 million blogs. And as you'll see shortly, this number has grown recently and dramatically. So the question we're trying to ask is, how can we provide an efficient, convenient way for people to access content of interest from this huge source of data in near real time? So to give some background for the growth of the blogosphere, this, as you'll notice from the x-axis, is just over the past few years, and the number of blogs tracked by Technorati has grown dramatically, over tenfold in just the past 2 years. The number just recently in this March is over 72 million, and that equates to 120,000 blogs being created every day. This is showing the posting volume. Obviously, the update rates for blogs can vary dramatically across different blogs. But when you take into account even some of these dead blogs that generate very little traffic, the total traffic across the blogosphere is quite dramatic. Currently, over 1.4 million posts per day are being generated. So a lot of content of interest. But the question is, how do you get to what you're interested in? So the general picture that we have here, we have a lot of sources of data, RSS feeds, out on the internet, and we have a lot of clients that are interested in this data. So the question is, how do we connect these two? So the most obvious solution is each client individually pulls all of the blogs, downloads their content, and searches each of the entries to see if it's something they're interested for. Clearly, this is not a scalable solution, not even getting into the bandwidth requirements, which are going to be astronomical for any end user. A user simply doesn't have time to look through all these entries and decide whether it's something they care about. So this isn't going to work. We propose a new middle layer, which is our Cobra system, which is in charge of looking at content across all of these feeds and distributing it to users in a useful fashion. The way this will work is the user will take a query. In this case, they're interested in Harvard football or Yale football, as long as it's a loss. And they'll inject this into the system as a query, which gets instantiated as a subscription that then lives in the system. Whenever new content is found from one of these systems, and it's crawled by the Cobra system, it will be matched against the subscription to check if it matches their interest set. And if so, it will be shipped out to the user so the user can receive it. Of course, in actuality, this will be happening in parallel across many feeds and many users. Some of the challenges that we see are simply, first, scalability. How do we efficiently support both a large number of feeds and a large number of users in the system? Latency, we're interested in providing near real-time update detection. We don't want to give a digest at the end of the day or a batch update or something. We want to let people know as soon as possible once something interesting occurs. Provisioning, we want to directly address the problem of provisioning our system, how much resources we need and how do we distribute it. And lastly, network locality, whether there's any opportunities to exploit network locality in the system to improve performance. To briefly highlight some of the current approaches that people use to receive RSS information, the most basic is an RSS reader. So this is a client application such as Thunderbird. Some of the downsides here is, firstly, it's topic-based, meaning you subscribe to a particular feed and you get whatever that feed is returning. So if you're interested in a particular interest set, you just need to find feeds that you hope will match that to the best of their ability. And secondly, there's this inefficient polling model that I mentioned earlier in that every user individually pulls a feed and there isn't any sort of shared workload. There are also topic aggregators, such as some developed by Technorati, that predefine topics, such as sports or politics. They crawl a large number of feeds and aggregate together articles from these feeds that have to do with particular topics, and you could subscribe to one of these. The difficulty, again, is that you're dealing with predefined topics. So if you have something in particular, like the example I gave, there probably won't be a feed already existing for that topic. And most recently, there are now blog search sites, such as Google Blog Search or Feedster, that are in a similar vein to what we're trying to achieve. The difficulty here are mostly that these are closed architectures, and there's simply a lot of questions about what is their scalability, how is their model, how efficient is their resource usage. So we'd like to ask some of these questions. As a quick outline, I'm going to give an overview of our architecture, including the three services that comprise Cobra. I'll outline our provisioning approach and our use of network coordinates, which is in locality-aware feed assignment. I'll give some of our evaluation results and conclude with related future work. So here's the general architecture. We've chosen a three-tiered architecture consisting of, at the bottom, we have a crawler tier. These machines are responsible for getting out and crawling the content on the internet and looking for new content on blogs. This content will be pushed up, new content will be pushed up to the filtering tier, which is responsible for the workload of matching new content against user subscriptions. Matches are pushed up to the reflector tier, which are responsible for aggregating all of the hits for a particular subscription and reflecting it back to users so that they can receive it. So first I'm going to show again how a subscription is inserted into the system. So a user will first go to a web server, which acts as a front end to the system on which the subscription is instantiated. The web server will select one reflector from the reflector tier to act as the home for that subscription, in this case reflector 3. And that reflector will choose one or more filters from the filtering tier to be in charge of the matching workload for that particular subscription. At this point, the subscription is inserted into the system, and the reflector that owns the subscription will hand back to the user a personalized URL. And the user can simply enter this URL into their standard reader, and the reader will download their personal results feed from this reflector. At this time, the system is ready to accept new content and ship it to the user. I'm going to jump into each one of these tiers now and show sort of the innards of how they each work. Starting from the bottom, so we can follow an article on its path, the crawler first, every crawler has its own list of URLs that it's responsible for. And on a timer, typically 15 minutes in our prototypes, the crawler will iterate through its list and download content from each of the URLs. As our first method, we utilize standard HTTP methods to eliminate duplicate results like a last modified header and delta encoding. Given the results here in the document, we first hash the entire document and compare that to a stored value. And if it matches the same hash we got the last time we downloaded that feed, we assume the content has not changed and we can throw it away as old content. If the hashes do not match, we next split the document into multiple articles. RSS feeds consist of multiple articles, typically on the order of 10, and henceforth each individual article is processed individually as its own entity. Each article is individually hashed and compared with a table of hash values, and any matching hashes between a current article and a stored hash value is probably an old article that has been seen before, so again, we can throw that out as old content. Any articles with a new hash value, we assume are new content that needs to be processed, and that's shipped up to the filtering tier. Jumping next into the filters, they, as you'll remember, they receive subscriptions whenever they're entered into the system, and they're indexed for fast matching, which I'll mention again in a moment. Articles that have been identified as new content by the crawling tier are pushed up into the filter and are matched against this index to determine whether or not they match any particular subscription that this filter is responsible for. If an article matches at least one subscription, it's pushed up to the reflector tier so it can be moved to users. I want to briefly mention our filtering algorithm. I don't have time to get into it in any detail, but it's been previously cited here for reference. The main idea is that the terms of any particular subscription, that is the words, are sorted in terms of descending selectivity. So the most selective word is checked first, with the idea being that that word has the least probability of showing up in any given article, and thus we can abort the matching as soon as possible if that subscription doesn't match. Moving now into the reflector tier, again, subscriptions are inserted into the system, and whenever a subscription is received, an article hit queue is created for that particular subscription, initially empty. Whenever an article is pushed up from the filtering tier, it's appended to the end of each article hit queue for all the subscriptions that match this article. Then whenever a client's RSS reader pulls the reflector simply takes all of the articles in that particular hit queue and packages them up into a standard RSS feed that the client's reader, such as Thunderbird or whatever, can understand. So we're supporting the standard RSS protocol here. That's the end of our architecture. I want to get into the provisioner now, but first, before I explain the provisioner, I need to make clear our hosting model. Currently, we're envisioning Cobra as more of a traditional distributed system using well-provisioned network data centers, such as something you might use in a commercial deployment. This allows us to make two basic assumptions. Firstly, it gives us some baseline numbers for what we can assume as the resources of our nodes, as opposed to a shared environment like PlanetLab or a peer-to-peer environment, where the node resources are all over the place and they're very heterogeneous. Also, we assume that node churn is typically going to be very infrequent due to the well-provisioned nature of these data centers. We think that adapting Cobra to a peer-to-peer type setting is certainly possible, but we haven't looked at this particular work. So our provisioning approach, we wanted to devise an automatic method given a set of performance characteristics or performance targets that we want to meet. We want to design a provisioner that will tell us exactly how many services we need and how we need to set them up. The idea is that first we tell the provisioner what our node constraints are. So these are the guaranteed bandwidth, CPU, power, and memory that each node will provide us. And we also give it a set of performance targets. For example, the total number of feeds we want to crawl, the total number of subscriptions we want to be able to support, the crawling rate, how often we crawl, et cetera. Internal to the provisioner are models of the resource usage, both analytically and empirically determined. So this is, for example, how much memory does a crawler consume, how much bandwidth does a crawler consume, et cetera. An advantage of this model is that if any of the services change, we only need to make new either analytical or empirical tests to figure out the new models, insert them into the provisioner, and it will still work. Taking all this into account, the provisioner spits out a graph which shows all of each type of service, reflectors, filters, and crawlers, and how they should be set up. The general algorithm for the provisioner, I don't have time to get into all the specific rules for how it works, but the general outline is we begin with a minimal topology consisting of one crawler, one filter, one reflector, and the provisioner will iterate through this graph and look for a service violation. What this means is, for example, if one service is consuming too much in bandwidth, then our bandwidth constraint allows too much out bandwidth, if its processing load is too high, or if it's consuming too much memory. When it identifies a violation, it resolves it by decomposing the service, by which I mean it replaces that single service with multiple replicas and distributes the load across them. Then once that one violation is resolved, it iterates the graph again looking for more violations. When no violations remain, that graph is instantiable and we're done. I'm just going to give a quick example of how this works. In this case, these are the parameters that we put in. These are the node constraints. These are what resources the node is giving us. And these are the performance targets we have. In this case, we start with one reflector, one filter, and one crawler. All 6 million subscriptions that we want to support are assigned to the one reflector. We have no other choice. And are pushed to the one filter. The one crawler we have is responsible for crawling all 600,000 feeds. The provisioner iterates and first identifies that this crawler has an in-bandwidth violation, meaning to crawl all 600,000 of these feeds every 15 minutes, it will consume more bandwidth than we've allowed. It resolves this simply by splitting the crawler into two replicas, each of which is responsible for only 300,000 feeds. It iterates again, this time identifying a CPU violation on the reflector. Its processing load is too high, having 6 million feeds. This time it resolves it by splitting into three replicas, each of which is responsible for only 2 million subscriptions. It iterates again, looking for more violations. It finds an out bandwidth violation. The load imposed by all 2 million users here polling every hour, we use 1 hour because that's shown to be the most common polling time for client readers, is consuming too much bandwidth for one particular reflector. We resolve this by splitting it again into two replicas, each with only 1 million. And this same violation happens and is resolved analogously on reflectors 2 and 3. Finally, it iterates one more time, finds a CPU violation on the filter, and resolves it by splitting into three copies. It iterates again and finds that there are no more violations, so this graph, each of the services in this graph fits within the node constraints that we've imposed. I'd like to change now to briefly describing our use of network coordinates, or network locality, excuse me. We focus on exclusively crawler feed locality. We think there might be some other areas in this project that it could be useful, but this is what we concentrate on for now. The idea is that instead of taking all of our feeds and distributing across all of the different crawlers in our tier, what if we assign the feeds to crawlers such that we assign them when they're near to each other with the hopes that the crawling time would be reduced across all of our feeds? The way we accomplish this is we use the King method previously published to estimate the latency between all of the feeds and each of our crawlers, and then we cluster them with a simple clustering algorithm such that crawlers receive those near to each other. Using this simple example, if we have one crawler in Boston and one in LA, and we have feeds pseudo-randomly distributed across North America, then the clustering will assign those in sort of the west half towards the crawler that they're nearer to and the right half towards those in Boston. I want to get into some of the evaluation results to highlight our methodology. All of our user queries were synthetic. The model that we used is the number of words in each query were pulled from a distribution drawn from Yahoo search query data, so the number of words people used in queries on Yahoo. We think there are probably some important differences between search queries and the types of subscriptions that will be entered into this system, particularly because our system is going to be more of a persistent subscription, but this is a good starting point. And the actual words in the subscription are pulled from the Brown corpus, which gives a distribution of English words, although we exclude the first 29 words because they're too general, like and the. Some of our evaluation that uses real feeds uses a list of just over 100,000 pulled from Syndicate.com. And for our experiments where we want to scale up to larger number of feeds, we use synthetic feeds where the words are also drawn from the Brown corpus, and the distribution of the update rates and the sizes of these feeds were empirically determined as well as based on some previously published work on characteristics of RSS feeds. So our first evaluation was to take a look at all the different filtering methods we use in the crawling tier and evaluate how useful they are. So the way we did this is we used our set of real feeds, 100,000, crawled them one full crawl over 15 minutes using four crawlers, all sending up to a single filter. And we looked at what the bandwidth consumption would be using different levels, different combinations of the filtering techniques. So in the very first case, we disabled everything, including even HTTP support for last modified and delta encoding, et cetera. And the bandwidth consumption was just over 9 megabits per second. If we then turn on only the HTTP method, so anything that we download, we ship up and assume it's new, it cuts a little more in half. So about half the data is thrown away as duplicate just by HTTP protocols. If we then also use solely the document hash, we see a large reduction of about a 10x reduction in content that we think is new and is shipped up. And lastly, if we also add on the article hash, there's about a 20x reduction in bandwidth consumption, that is content that we think is new due to this method. And the takeaway is just that the combination of all these methods result in a very large reduction in bandwidth. So we're eliminating a lot of content that we think is duplicate. An evaluation of our locality-aware feed assignments. First, we excluded about 60,000 feeds that were all hosted on only two sites because we thought that that would skew our distribution. So that left us with 34,000 across 481 IP addresses, because some IPs host multiple feeds. And we used 11 Planet Lab hosts, constructed a latency matrix, and assigned the feeds either randomly or by a clustering method using this locality matrix. The red distribution here is a CDF of the crawl times across all of the feeds using a locality-aware method, and the blue is using a random method. So you see we achieved some benefit in that we see faster crawl times, about 18% in median. Moving to some scalability results, these are all, again, using synthetic feeds on Emulab, using four different topologies ranging from 1 million to 40 million subscriptions and from 100,000 feeds to 1 million feeds, as shown here. First, we evaluated the increase in bandwidth according to scalability, and we see that even with the largest number of feeds, 1 million, we're only consuming about 5.5 megabits per second. So we think that the bandwidth usage scales fairly well with feeds and users. We're also interested in the intranetwork latency because we want to ensure near real-time updates to users, so we want to make sure that the Cobra system isn't imposing undue latencies. First, let me point out that the latency that a user sees is actually a combination of three things. It's how long it takes for a crawler to find an update once it's been posted on a site, how long it takes a user to retrieve an update once it's been posted on the reflector, and then the Cobra latency, the intra-network latency, which is how long it takes us to get it from the crawler tier, ship it up through to the reflector tier. These can be analytically determined by probability. The crawl latency is about half of the crawling period. If it's 15 minutes crawl period, it'll be 7.5 minutes here. And analogously, if the user is polling every hour, the polling latency will be about half an hour. In comparison, our latencies, even for the slowest network here, our 90th latency percentile is just under a minute. So overall, these are going to be dominated by these other latencies. This is looking at just the provisioner output of what it predicts that our node requirements are going to be for increasing number of feeds. the subscriptions in each one of these feeds is 10 times the number of feeds. And we expect here, so this will be 10 million feeds and 100 million subscriptions. It's predicting that we're going to need 15 crawlers and 555 each filters and reflectors. But I do want to point out that we think this is a bit of a worst case because our user query model is quite permissive. What I mean by that is that some of the synthetic user queries that are generated match a very large number of articles just by random distribution. Some of the one-word queries match tens of thousands of articles when they're produced. And we think that any real user wouldn't want a query like that because they would simply be receiving too much information. Some of these are simply not going to be of interest to them. You could also imagine the COBRA system choking some users who are receiving too many hits. Some quick related work. This is based on traditional distributed pub-sub systems such as Sienna that address event matching and distribution, which is essentially what we're trying to do. In this case, it's not event matching, but content matching, but the distribution is related. Some of the difference here are that we wanted specifically to support the RSS protocols that already exist out there. So we're not requiring the feeds to do anything special. We're not requiring the clients to do anything special. And also, we take an explicit approach towards provisioning. The Corona project out of Cornell is another RSS-based pub-sub system. However, they remain topic-based in that subscribers subscribe to URLs and not topics. And their main focus is trying to limit the polling load on content servers so you don't get this multiplicative effect as servers get more possible, as well as limiting the update delay. The future work for this project, we think there's a lot of avenues. In particular, as I alluded to earlier, we're very interested in evaluating the real behavior of real users in types of subscriptions and their behavior. We're interested in the possibility of more sophisticated filtering techniques. Right now, we're using sort of a binary approach. Either the words show up or they don't. But you can imagine something like a rank by relevance, or if the words are closer together, that's somehow more important. Subscriptions right now are randomly distributed across reflectors. But we think if you cluster the subscriptions such that ones that are more similar live on the same reflector, that reflector will see less traffic because the traffic will all be more similar to itself. And lastly, there's a question of if the blogosphere is really growing this fast, how do we learn about new blogs? If we're getting 120,000 created new every day, is there some efficient way that we can find out about these? And that's it. I'd be happy to take your questions.
Niels Provost, Google. At the moment, it seems that subscriptions are creating state on your filter system. I'm wondering if you're worried at all about inefficiencies when you have a large number of subscriptions, many of which might be idle for a long period.
So I guess we address that in a couple ways. Firstly, the number of articles that are saved for any particular subscription, we are currently capping at 10. So if you receive 100 articles since the last time you've polled, then only the most recent 10 will be there, which essentially just means that users need to poll on some sort of regular basis to retrieve their content. Analogously, if a subscription is getting way too many hits such that the user can't poll that fast, then probably their subscription isn't appropriate because they're getting more interest than they can really digest. But there's also questions about if you simply have a large number of subscriptions on a reflector, what is the memory cost going to be? And I think there's some interesting questions involved in that. But we have a couple ways, but there's more work to be done.
Thanks.
Ken Berman, Cornell. I like the talk. I think it's really interesting work. I have colleagues at Cornell who are doing a lot of work on event mining for data streams. And in that community, the database community, there's a lot of attention to the prior history of a given stream, which for you would correspond to queries that involve the prior history on the same blog. And I'm noticing that because you're treating each posting almost as if it was a separate entity, the blogs are useful to you as an optimization, but not as a source of context. Does that change the problem enormously if you start to think about context, if whether or not this latest posting is relevant depends upon the last 25 postings on that blog?
So as you point out, we're sort of treating, the crawlers don't have much state. So when they crawl a bunch of crawlers, they kind of forget about all of them again. And I think there are a lot of rooms for optimization. In particular, on a very basic level, we don't look at the varying update rates. And as shown in previous work, the update rates across different blogs vary tremendously. And so if we either just knew them a priori or if we could learn them, I think this was shown somewhat in the Corona project, if we could learn what the update rates of different blogs would be, we could tune our crawling levels so that we're not continuously crawling one blog if it's not changing at all. It would also be interesting, as you pointed out, to look at if I'm getting a lot of hits from one particular blog to a subscription, then maybe if I'm a little bit unsure about the next one, I'm going to go ahead and push it up because I've seen lots of history before. That's drawing a connection between subscriptions and feeds. I'm not sure, currently the crawling tier knows nothing about subscriptions. So I'm not sure what the best model would be, either pushing subscription level knowledge down into the crawling tier so they can make use of that, or maybe pushing something up such that users can specify more of an affinity towards certain feeds. But I think that can definitely be used, but there's questions about the best way to do that.
Sorry, Cornell. We actually did some experimentation with adding content-based filtering to Corona, and what we found out was the quality of the corpus mattered immensely in the user experience, because if you had bad sites that were spamming, essentially, it was very hard to distinguish them from legitimate content. So have you given any thought to how you would rank the updates that are sent to users and how you would do spam, anti-spam filtering?
We haven't given a lot of thought to that. I know that that is a big focus for Technorati. In particular, recently, if you look at some, they have an update of the blogosphere posting that they make every quarterly or so to one of their employees' blogs. And he gives that's what my Technorati graphs are from. And he talks a lot about their efforts towards pruning spam blogs from their listing of blogs. So one way is simply to make sure that spam blogs don't get in our initial list at all, that crawlers don't have in the first place. If we are receiving content from feeds that are generating spam type content, then I don't know. I think that would be somewhat. I think you'd have to do somewhat of a text processing and a language analysis to try and figure that out, which I am far from an expert in. That's the best I can do.
Hi, Ryan Peterson, Cornell. So Ken asked a question about relating queries to time. You know, some event happens at one time, some other event happens later, and correlating those. But even maybe more fundamental than that, how about different events between two different data sources? So you have, you know, Yale loses and Harvard wins, but they're in two different places. How do you ensure that they both go to the same filter so that you can find, you know, so that you can match one query about those two different data sources?
Yeah, that's tough, because in the example you gave, I might be interested in both of those, but for example, if I'm understanding you right, if I'm interested if I'm interested in real pirates and I'm interested in the geography of the Caribbean and those two things, let me reverse that. If I'm interested in the movie Pirates of the Caribbean and there's one blog about real pirates and there's one blog about the geography of the Caribbean, I don't necessarily want to see both of those. So in some sense, queries can be distributed across multiple articles, but in some sense, it doesn't really make sense for them to do so. So that might sort of be on a query-by-query basis. I think the right approach to that might be more sophisticated user queries being injected into the system that sort of more richly describe what the user really wants to know about. And the best way to do that, I'm not sure, it's maybe giving a richer interface or processing what the user puts in. Or something like that. I think probably that's the right approach.